This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello and welcome to Cracking Crime. I'm your host, Jamie Tilson.
Happy Seth.
Oh, man, it's been a couple of weeks since we've done one of these.
Few rather.
I know. Well, we're trying to keep them coming, but you know, all kinds of stuff comes up. You know.
Yeah, life.
Life. There we go.
Work, surgeries, stuff like that.
Yeah. But we're here now. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah. I'm very excited. So we were doing, the last one was Taco Bell, right? Taco Bell Strangler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell, too.
You know, the one in Fremont's open until 4 a.m.?
What?
Yeah. We were at the hotel having a couple beers last night, and it was probably 1 o'clock. You know, I'm thinking, I'm going to go to bed. Well, I mean, obviously, I'm hungry, but I wasn't thinking about food. Like, I would have been okay without it. And next thing I know, Ryan's sitting there like, there's a Taco Bell right out that window, apparently. It's open till 4. And I was like, oh, that's not possible. There's no way. There's no way they can cook that excellence for that long and be that open. And I walk over to the window and look, and sure enough, there's like 12 people online. It's like, must be a bunch of drunk people. They are open. They're crazy.
Oh, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I got the mobile app, and we all ordered it. And it said, yeah, come inside. So me and Ryan just walked over there through a parking lot, and door was closed, so we had to go back, get in our truck, go wait in line. But yeah, Taco Bell open until 4 a.m. I called him and asked him. I was like, hey, I'm staring at your building from my hotel window, drunk as shit. Are you open until 4? Is that what it says? Is that a typo? Like, no, we are. I was like, well, great. I love you. He hung up, but I'm sure he said it back afterwards.
Yeah, he was like, love that guy. Oh, that's awesome, man. I didn't know that.
There should be one of those everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know what time. I don't think any of the ones up in Kearney are closed. Or open late.
I bet they have just enough time to close and make breakfast ready. And then open again at like, what, 6? Is that one in Nebraska? Or
that's crazy. So then they turn around and open for breakfast too?
I would imagine so.
What's the point? And I think we need to get them on their phone. I got to find out why they even close.
It ain't 4 a.m. Guaranteed that you want to call them? I will.
Hold okay, up. Well, if you
serious.
If you want to call them and just ask them why they even close then, if they're only closed for 2 hours, what's the point? No, we don't actually need to call.
What?
Just gonna find out.
Your name pops up on the caller ID. They're probably busy making quesadillas.
They're not even open. They're like, yeah, we're closed on Sunday.
That would make sense. I was gonna ask him. Maybe we'll call him tomorrow. Seriously, why would you even close? Just talk to me. There's probably some lady like, I don't, my manager's not here. I don't know. I'm like, well, fucking call her. Put me on hold or three-way it. Merge the call. Let's figure it out together. I want to know why you closed.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've heard of them. So the one, when I was in high school, my buddy's house, where we always partied at, it was great. It was a safe place to party. Parents didn't give a shit about us. We died or whatever. Okay. So they were great. They left us alone, didn't come check on us. But we just had a basement. We could all drink there, and we stayed there. And it was like maybe a block down the same street. It hooked north. And right on where it hooked north, it came into a main street, a highway, I believe. And there was a Taco Bell right there. So you could literally drink and then just walk around the steel. And they were always open until 2 a.m. So that was always what we did.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then we drank till 1 o'clock, and we'd walk over to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So I've heard of them being open till 2, but for one to be open till 4 a.m., that's just beyond me.
I know, that's unreal.
And I'm serious, at 2 o'clock, dude, we, with our order already there, we waited. We were the 12th car in line. And when we left, there were still 12 behind us.
Well, that's why they're open till 4.
Yeah, no wonder. Because they're still that busy. And what pissed me off was the refried beans weren't fresh. You know how when you get them, I'm thinking that they're this busy. Well, of course they're not
fresh at 2 a.m.
But if they're that busy, you'd be thinking they're making them fresh. They're keeping them going.
I don't really know what other people order at Taco Bell. Because you'd think that, I mean, most of the shit that they've got refried beans in them.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Every once in a while, you get some, and it's like, it's just a brick of beans in there. And it's like...
It was some of the weirdest service we've had too, because three of us, there was drunk. Five of us that ordered, three of us ordered $5 cravings boxes, and Jacqueline's $5 craving box didn't come in a box. They just put the individual items in there. So I'm like, we didn't get the box, but we got extra stuff. You know, I'm like, I'm getting ready to go back, and Jacqueline opens it. She's like, well, that's what I ordered, and that's what I ordered, and I'm eating. I got like half my quesadilla in my mouth. Are you sure it's all? I'll go back. We'll get another. It's going to take me half an hour to wait in that long-ass line. We're going to get it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and this, all of it was just kind of mediocre, which... I get they're busy. There's 12 cars in line, but for it not to taste like it was just now freshly cooked was beyond me with how busy it was.
Yeah, that is really surprising.
Very.
But
moving on. No, go ahead. You got something else?
No.
I can talk about Taco Bell all day.
I know I can too. I found that over lunchtime, it's very good because they did breakfast. Everything's pretty fresh. Boom! Here's your lunch. And then I've also found that like if you go there around dinner time, so like anywhere from 5 to 7, pretty good.
Yeah, but I never hit that mark for some reason. I'm always on the outside of those.
Yeah, because those are about the times. I mean, I usually order one bean burrito. And if it's good, then I always regret that I didn't get like 8.
You do realize that if it were midnight right now, Fremont's a 3-hour drive. So now that we have this information, we know at all times, anytime ever. If it's midnight, we could make it there by 3 a.m. and they would still be open.
We're going to drive 6 hours round trip. When we leave, we're going to stop at Kearney and we're going to grab Wendy's. And then we're going to drive.
No. What I'm saying is, we'll get there at 3 o'clock in the morning. We'll stop, we'll eat, we'll start heading back about 3:45. By the time we get back into Kearney, it's breakfast.
Oh, we can get Taco Bell breakfast?
Yeah, exactly.
So what you're saying is Taco Bell dinner in Kearney, Taco Bell midnight dinner at 3 a.m. and then breakfast Taco Bell the breakfast. Morning, yeah, oh, my God. That's all right. Yeah. If you want us to do that, you let us know. All right?
We don't have to do anything else. We could just drive and eat.
We'll just hey, this all we'll sounds great.
Songs
I'm in.
The whole time.
This sounds great. Oh, my God. All right.
Land me.
So, we're still doing this Taco Bell gift card giveaway thing. We've got it. We've got the gift card. It's sitting here. I still got to get Garcia his beef jerky from the last giveaway. So, I will send that. He sent me a text the other day and was like...
Where's my fucking jerky?
Yeah, he really did. And I was like, you knock it off. We'll get this to you. But I've got a gift card right here. And it's ready to go to somebody. And we've only got one person on there right now. And I'm perfectly fine giving it away to Mr. Mattson.
You just did. You just gave it away to me. Oh, you need this too.
Yeah, that's the gift card we're giving away. What do you got going on?
Literally in my pocket. It says 15 to 100. What's the number? Because if it's 90, I'm
no, that one's 25. That's my 25. You've still got to get a 25 to give to somebody. Mr. Mattson followed all the directions.
I wish you would have said something when I was there last night at 2 o'clock in the morning.
You can get Taco Bell gift cards at Dollar General.
Oh.
Family Dollar. Walmart.
Yeah, no excuse then. All
right. You don't. Yeah, I think Casey's.
They call Jack when she's about to get dog food. I'll have her grab
it. That'd work perfect. Yeah. All right. So we're doing this giveaway. Whatever we said was the rules of it. Go listen to Taco Bell Strangler. That's where the rules are at.
Yep.
All right.
It's the only way you're going to know.
That's right.
So far, only one of you did what we asked you to do. So
that's right.
We're not and, I don't as know. Successful as we thought we were.
By the next episode, we're going to do the giveaway. And if
Ghostbusters
it's,
Afterlife?
What's that?
Ghostbusters Afterlife? The little nerdy kid's got like a million podcast episodes, and just Dan Aykroyd was the only one listening to it. Is that us?
Well, thank you for listening, Dan.
Our one fan.
Our one fan. If it's Dan Aykroyd, we're doing well. We're doing pretty good.
It probably
isn't. So, again, well, speaking of that, remember, go give us 5 stars. If you guys are listening to us, give us 5 stars. We're worth it, right? I will send Seth over to your house to do some really funky stuff, all right, for 5 stars and a good review.
It smells funky. Right.
Well, it might. It probably will.
Take a big old shit right
there. Well, it's going to be at their request, not yours.
I'm saying, I'm open to that. That's what you want to do.
All right. So, do that. That helps the algorithm. It helps get it to another maybe couple hundred people to listen to.
Another four or five.
That'd be great. All right. So our goal is to get to a few thousand, and we're just a couple people away.
Yeah, we're looking at 12. We're looking at 12.
That'd be a
great start.
It's pretty good. Yeah. So when we first started, we had a lot of family that was supporting us, and now they don't. They're like,
those,
oh, yeah, no, I'll listen again. Yeah.
Not one of those MFers. You know what? I'm not sorry, Grandma. I doubt you're even going to hear this.
I think Grandma's still listening.
Well, why wouldn't you say that in the first place?
I wasn't talking about her. Lost our like, my wife. I asked my wife, I'm like, hey.
Oh, yeah, Jacqueline does. Yeah. She used to, like, call me during work and say, oh, that was hilarious when you said this, and Jamie said that, and.
Yeah, Sam would give me pointers. She'd call me. She'd be like, oh, okay. So, you know, do this. And, oh, that one was really good, blah, blah, blah. Now she's just like, I like really it when good. You guys used to do this and when you used to do that. Yeah. And I'm like, How do you know? We just did that.
Yeah, and she goes,
oh, yeah, I haven't listened to like 8 episodes. So I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, honey.
Yeah, I just haven't listened to the last 4 through 20.
But if it's any consolation, we haven't noticed the decline in our loved ones not listening because we must have some supporters out there and we appreciate it. So you know what? Show us your appreciation. Go to our Facebook page. Go to all of our social media. We're on the Tweeter. We're on the
Tweetersphere.
Yeah. What was that?
The Tweetersphere. The
Tweetersphere.
Stuff.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's. I think there's pretty. We got half naked pictures of Seth on our Instagram.
You don't want to see that these days. It's not good.
And we're also on Patreon. So we got a shout out, Mr. Mike Garcia. Dude, your jerky's on the way. We appreciate you being our Patreon.
It's gonna get there. Stop being so impatient. It's only been a couple months.
I know. Jeez. We do giveaways. You know what? You're worth it. We're in this jerky. From B. John's Jerky. It's worth the wait. All right?
Just because you want it in 2022 doesn't mean you're going to get it in 2023. we didn't say when we'd send it. We said we would, okay?
That's right.
Hang in there, buddy. You might get it fourth quarter.
We got Grandma. Thank you, Grandma, for being one of our Patreons. And then we've got... You over there still?
Yeah.
CBD. It's the Phelps Harvest. Phelps Harvest CBD. Check them out. Phelps Harvest on Facebook. It's all homegrown stuff, or however you...
Natural alternative to pharmaceuticals.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say... I wasn't saying it right at all.
Who else we got? We got Graham's.
And then right. Mr. Garcia, and then Phelps Harvest. Garcia. Those are our three Patreons that we shout
Grandma
out for.
Garcia. Yeah.
Yes.
None of my other family members give a shit.
No, they haven't joined our Patreon yet. We do. We got like 3 or 4 bonus episodes on Patreon. We're going to be putting out more.
$5 a month would be, what, $60 a year?
Oh, it's $10 a month. Or you could do three. Oh, yeah, three. But three, you don't get a shout out. Three, you just are donating money because you don't want to listen to Seth's chair squeaking anymore.
Well, my back's now got to have surgery because I've been sitting in this thing for so damn long. So the bill's going up. You better get it while it's hot.
So thank you to our Patreons. That's fantastic. If you want to help us out, go over to Patreon. Check it out over there. All right. This week, dude, I'm pretty excited. Yeah. So this is our 25th episode. And so it's, you know, kind of a big number, right, with 25. So we're going to do the O.J. Simpson case. All right. So just we're covering O.J. Simpson. So... it's kind of crazy. I'll talk about it a little bit more at the end. But, I guess we'll just go.
We're going to get after it.
We're going to get after it.
Where did they go?
Orenthal James.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Simpson.
Geronimo.
So he's born in 1947.
Does it sound like I'm falling when I do
that? No.
All right. Who'd you say was what?
Orenthal James Simpson.
Orenthal.
Born in San Francisco, California in 1975.
Sounds like a gel you would put on a zit.
Okay, so I said 1975 because he's 75 years old. He was born in 1947.
That makes more sense.
Makes a lot more sense.
Just after World War II. He's a baby boomer. Not really, a late one. Somebody had a lazy dick. That decade.
They did. So he was in a little bit of trouble when he was growing up in San Francisco. But then he turns to football, ends up going to college, all right? So he goes to USC.
How'd that turn out when he tried football? Is he all right? Was he okay, you think? Athletically, was he inclined?
Well, you know what? I think at first he wasn't doing that great.
Probably.
But then for some reason he ended up turning around. He ended up doing pretty decent.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah,
I had a couple sacks in high school.
Did you?
You'll see me gloating about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't really think he played that much in high school. I think obviously a little bit in high school. I don't know how he. I mean, I could go into it, right? But he ends up going to USC.
Wait, he got into USC and he didn't play high school?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking that he did. It just doesn't say much. It just says he was at Galileo High School. He did play for the school football team. Mm-hmm. He graduated in 65. It doesn't give much about whether or not he was good. I'm assuming that they were looking at him, right? Because he's a running back. So if you don't know anything about OJ, he's, you know, Hall of Fame.
This is going to sound like a tad bit racist, but if I'm a USC coach and I got 4 white guys that have been going to school, you know, playing football their whole lives, and a black guy walks up, he's like, I want to play. I'm like, you're in. You're faster. You can jump higher. You can probably catch better. You're in. Don't care if you have any experience at all. And he probably just practiced that one day and was like just naturally fantastic. Yeah.
That may be what happened.
Is that racist of me to say? I feel like it's a good racist.
I don't think there is a good.
Black people are great at sports. They're athletic as shit.
So, it says in his early years he joined a street gang.
I'm getting your hand. I'll shut up. I want to go down this road, Seth.
He was briefly incarcerated. His future wife, Marguerite. Marguerite? Yeah. His childhood sweetheart. She described him as just a really awful person back then.
Wow, that's mean.
Oh, ooh. After his third arrest, a meeting with Willie Mays during a baseball star, or during which the baseball star encouraged him to avoid trouble, helped him, like, shape him and change him.
I already like Willie Mays, and that just makes me like him even more.
Yeah.
Just talking to kids and stuff, and that's awesome. I love Willie Mays.
Oh, yeah. No, he's absolutely amazing. So, he helped kind of turn OJ's life around for a couple years, right? Because as we all know from, you know, here in 64 until, you know, in 94, so 30 years later, he's not doing so good.
Not at all.
No. But he goes to USC. He ends up winning a Heisman his senior year. They're calling one of the best running backs they ever had. He ends up getting drafted. He goes to Buffalo Bills from 69 to 77. Buffalo Bills. In the meantime is when he started. He was traveling back and forth between California, and then he would go to all of his games in Buffalo and stuff like that. San Francisco from 78 to 79. So he was on the Niners. Then he retires and then goes into, like, movies. And he was in Naked Gun. All three of those Naked Gun movies.
I haven't watched those since I was a kid. So I know I can't remember the role he played.
He was, I can find it out.
I just remember watching with my dad, like those, and, what the heck? Is it Hot Shots? Or who's it with, Charlie Sheen, where he's Wild Thing? Charlie Sheen, he plays Wild Thing, baseball movies.
Yes.
They were kind of, like, making fun of movies and stuff like that, too, though. Well, I don't know, it was a comedy. You know what I'm talking about, though?
Oh, yeah, I loved Hot Shots.
Hot Shots. So it is Hot Shots. I wasn't sure if that was the name of it.
No, he wasn't in... Yeah, no, the one you're talking about is Hot Shots.
Yeah, no, I was saying the Naked Guns were kind of like the Hot they Shots. They were, like, about the same time, same kind of comedy, it seemed like.
They were.
My dad used to watch that I used to watch with him.
Yeah, no, they were really good.
Yeah, I was trying to fill in the space while you looked up what you rolled in there.
Well, you did great, because I found it.
Yeah, great. Cover blown.
Nope, I didn't find it. Anyway, it says films.
Nice night for a walk if you're into that kind of thing.
In popular culture, but everything I'm seeing is all about the case that we're getting ready to talk about.
Weather 68 today with a high of 54 tomorrow.
Nordberg. He plays Nordberg in, that's not in this. This is nothing but NFL, college football career, and murdering his wife. That's all it's about.
Allegedly.
Well, not even allegedly. I mean, it was allegedly. Yeah, because he was found innocent. All right, so we're going to talk about this. All right. So I just want to find the year. So then that way. So he, at age of 19, he marries Marguerite Whitley. They had three children: Arnell Simpson, Jason Lamar Simpson, Aaron LaShawn Simpson. He lost a son. Aaron drowned in the family's pool in 79. That's too bad. He was two. That's awful. In 77, he meets Nicole Brown. She was working as a waitress at a nightclub called the Daisy. He was still married to his first wife. He begins dating Nicole Brown. He divorces Marguerite in 79. He then marries Nicole Brown in 85. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was 5 years after his retirement from professional football when they get married. They have two children, Sydney Simpson and Justin Simpson.
Curious, do you know anything about them, the kids? Like, how are they doing now?
I do know that OJ still talks to some of his kids.
Okay. How many kids does he have?
So it seems like here he's got four. He had five, but he's got four.
Seven.
He was married to her for 7 years, in which they get a divorce, and he pleads no contest to spousal abuse. She files for divorce in February of 92. So I guess that wasn't So during the marriage is when he got arrested for spousal abuse in 89. They get a divorce.
How old were you when all this was going
on? 92. 10? So I was 10 in 92.
So you knew you didn't know much about it, but you were aware of what it was.
No, so we lived in Southern California at the time.
Yeah.
Of the Bronco Chase. So I knew nothing of this until the Bronco Chase. Everybody knew the Bronco Chase.
Well, 92, I would have been in Vegas. That's when Ashley was born in Vegas.
But this is 94. Oh, so the murder is 94.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Bronco Chase then, 94. So we were, again, we were living down in Southern California. We lived in La Quinta, California at the time.
Yeah. Sounds about the same time me and Dad and Ashley and Mom were down there. It's got to be somewhere in there anyway.
Like in Vegas? Where no, you guys
I think were? We lived in California for a while, too. Yeah, Fresno.
But that was... You guys lived in Sacramento.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. We lived in Sacramento, too. And then... But that was... So, in 94, we moved back to Nebraska in 95. Yeah. So, we were living California in 94 when... During the pursuit. And then, we moved back to California the following year. Or to Nebraska. Yeah. So... But that's what made everybody, and it was so popular of a trial that we even in Nebraska, they rolled out the TVs, and we all watched the verdict in the Commons area. Everybody came out in the Commons area and watched it on TV. We watched the verdict live.
Huh.
Yeah, it was unreal. So this is
big news.
The biggest news of that time.
By far, sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah. So it was just huge. I mean, it was everywhere. You couldn't do anything. I mean, O.J. Simpson was beloved by the country. It was unreal. I mean, here he's this, like, larger-than-life superstar. I mean, he was just starting to get into movies. He was doing commentary on all of the, you know, football games.
Yeah.
And then, so he was this former football player who's then gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, it's just unreal. So, and then he's now, like I say, going on to become a movie star, and all of the Naked Gun movies were fantastic. They were they're still great today. But yeah, then this whole thing happens. Now, I was too young at the time to really know what's happening. But, so let's just go into it. All right, so June 12th, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman are found stabbed to death, okay, at her house. She doesn't live with OJ, so they're divorced. They're found dead, stabbed to death. Mm-hmm. Nicole Brown Simpson, her neck was throated. Her neck was throated.
Yeah. Her neck is throated, you're right.
Golly.
Just right. His boob. Leg is foot.
All right, so Nicole's neck was cut, okay? And then so was Ron Goldman's, and he was also stabbed, like, a ton of times.
I mean, that's... murder's murder, but I feel... I wouldn't know, but I feel like to shoot someone compared to stabbing someone, like, that's... It takes a whole different kind of person.
It does.
You know? Like, pulling a trigger and it happening on its own is one thing, but to actually, like, insert... it's way more in depth. You have to be. I feel like you have to be way more of an evil person, like right. to your core, to do that. Allegedly, I don't know who did it, if it was him or not, but whoever did it, that's some evil shit. I don't know.
No, I agree.
If it is him, that's maybe all that
and up close and personal.
I do think a lot of the stars and everything, they're just so cut away from reality and stuff like mm-hmm. that maybe I could see something like that happening. You just think you're above the law, you're above everything, maybe
right?
I don't know.
No,
who knows.
Yeah, I agree. It's a crazy deal. So, it is. I mean, it's 100%. I mean, it's violent.
Very.
Very, very violent.
Cuts in his throat. Like,
and her throat was cut so bad that her head was almost cut off.
Yeah. That's brutal.
Brutal. Like, yeah.
Insanely violent.
Yeah. And then Ron Goldman is like... stabbed a ton, right? I mean, so it's like they're very angry at Ron Goldman, okay? So at this point, from what I've, all the documentaries I've watched, everything that I've seen, right, it's not like the police just knew that O.J. Simpson was in town, he's hanging out, whatever, or that he's not, or whatever. They have no idea what's going on.
From what I've heard, it just sounds like they just didn't want it to be him, you know, like, you just didn't expect it. He's America's sweetheart, you know, you don't want it to be him, so you assume it's not him.
Right. And they, and there's so much blood at Nicole's house, right? And there's, we're in Beverly Hills, man. We're not, this isn't like, it's a pretty well-gated community and this and that. But, I mean, she doesn't have a gate walking up to her front door, anything like that. So, they're dead in the front yard, okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about just how bad it was handled, the whole scene. Because it's now going to become, you know, like, everybody and their dog's going to drive by, all this and that. So they don't want the law enforcement, family, they don't want all these other people driving by and standing out here to see the bodies. So they go inside the house, they grab all these sheets and stuff like that, and they cover the bodies in the yard and contaminate the crime scene just bigger than I'll get out. Okay? They lose certain trace evidences, stuff like that. So anyway, they find these two bodies outside, and they start investigating the scene right away. And then they're like, we have to go to OJ's house and make sure that he's okay. Because this could have been a crazy fan that's just going after OJ or whatever. Or they're still going to let OJ know. So they go over to OJ's house, and they can't get in, right? So they're trying to get in through the gates because he lives in a gated house. And so they finally end up getting a hold of Cato Kalin. Now, he lives in the pool house at the back of the mansion.
Okay? Cato Kalin does.
Yeah.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. For you to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Cato Kalin lives.
And what? Is he just a tenant?
No, so he's like, takes care of the property and he's a friend of OJ's, and I think he's helping him out.
Pretty much just gave one of his friends a job to take care of the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he ends up, he lives in the pool house, but he's just a friend, and yeah. And like I say, I do think that he takes care of the place. But anyway, he's the only one that's there. So they go to the pool house. They end up knocking on the door. No one's answering at the mansion. Cato finally answers the door. And they're like, hey, we're trying to check on OJ. Do you know where he's at? Is he okay? And they're like, and Cato's like, I have no idea. You know, I think that he flew out last night and he's in Chicago. So OJ at the time is in Chicago. So then he then says,
he said last night, so it would be after the murder. So they couldn't place him somewhere else.
Well, they didn't know that yet.
Oh, okay.
So they don't know that yet. All they know is Nicole and Ron are dead. Cato's at the house, at OJ's house, alone. And OJ is in Chicago. Okay? So, they ask Cato, So, Cato then ends up telling them, in the middle of the night, though, I heard this loud bang on this wall, in between the fence and the house. So, Mark Furman is one of the investigators, and he goes in between. He goes around the edge in between the fence and the house, and he finds a glove with blood on it laying next to the house.
The infamous, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit glove?
That is the same glove. This is the glove that he finds. At OJ's property, covered in blood. They bag it. So now they're like, this is weird. Right? So then they start checking out OJ's place. They find his 93 Bronco that's white. Also got blood all over it. It's got blood, like, on the door handle. There's blood inside of it. There's blood, like, different. There's streaks of blood. There's blood evidence on this. So they collect the Bronco. They collect the glove. Like, it's already tying together that this. Why is there blood at OJ's house?
Yeah.
Separate location. And then there's all this stuff at Nicole's house. So then they call OJ. Well,
if you're a cop, if I'm a cop, that gives me two options. Either one, that the killer also was there and did something to OJ, or OJ was part of it.
Right.
Clearly, those are your only two options.
Right.
He was either part of being a victim, or he was part of victimizing.
Right.
If you will, if that's probably not the right terminology, but still.
No, you're right, though. So now, they call OJ in Chicago, wake him up in his motel room, and then they let him know about Nicole. And he's like, yeah, okay, thanks. So now he's going to fly back from Chicago, and then he's going to come in, and he's going to talk to police, right? And now they're processing OJ's house and Nicole's house. But here's the dumb shit. They then have this glove in their on their person from OJ's house, and they go over to Nicole's house, where they're processing all of this, and he's still got the evidence on him. So now there's cross-contamination because they're taking shit from OJ's over to Nicole's. So it's just stupid, right? And then there was like they weren't changing their gloves out for the crime scene techs in between. And like there was
everything around, passing all the evidence.
Right. It was just cross-contamination.
It's almost like they were paid to mess it up.
Right. It's just not good, right?
Yeah.
But any way you look at it, still the main pieces of evidence we have is that you had this glove, you end up having Nicole's blood on it, OJ's blood on it, you got the blood on OJ's Bronco at OJ's house. Like, there's a bunch of stuff right here. So, they want to talk to OJ. So, OJ comes to the police department to talk to the officers, to the investigators. When he walks in, you can watch video of this on any documentaries, he walks in and he's got a bag with him when he walks in. Okay? They had set this up. So he comes in, does the interview. I've actually read the transcript. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. They don't do that great of a job. Like every time that they have him quite like on the edge of like an admission or something, then they quit pushing. They never check in the bag. Right. Well, it was good questioning. They laid it all out. Turns out they were together, him and Nicole, at a recital for one of their kids.
The night of the murder. So he places him with him the night of the murder.
Right. And then, but after the recital, Nicole leaves. OJ goes home. And then Nicole is at home. Well, no, she goes out to eat. She goes out to a restaurant. This is actually because a lot of people say like Ron Goldman was her friend, but he's not. I mean, he's probably somewhat of a friend, an acquaintance, but he was a waiter at the restaurant. So Nicole goes home. Ron gets off of work, and Nicole had left her sunglasses at the restaurant. So Ron was just dropping them off.
Yeah, I think I would have left them at the restaurant.
Well, yeah, I mean, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah,
you know, if he'd have known that an angry somebody was at the house ready to cut people up, he probably wouldn't have went there.
Freaking head off, yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't have done it.
Right. So it's crazy, right? So Ron Goldman's just dropping sunglasses off to Nicole because she frequents the restaurant. So he sees her in the restaurant often. So he's like, I'm just going to drop these off over there. And then there was speculation that they were dating or something, but they weren't.
Even if they were, they didn't have that coming.
Right. No. But it's just, just crazy that he's just dropping these off and then he's now included it. Now those two
at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right. And they're forever always known together now. So that's the crazy part of the whole thing. But then OJ just went home. He's hanging out with Kato Kaelin at the mansion. And then OJ admits that he left the house by himself, took his car, is what he says, for a little while, and then returned home. They never really nailed down. He said he went for ice cream. But that's it. They're like, okay, did you go anywhere else while you're out? Anybody, like, what were the times, this and that? They don't do any of that stuff. Anyway, then the person comes in to take mugshots of OJ. And they're like, oh, we're done. So they take a picture with OJ. And then he takes his mugshots. And then he leaves with his attorneys. And when you see him coming out, the attorneys are carrying the black bag. The black bag goes into the trunk of the limousine. They drive off. No one ever knows what happened to the black bag. No one ever searched it.
All the evidence, it's probably burned.
So I've heard speculation, right? Complete pure speculation. Nobody knows what was in that, right? Except for O.J. Simpson. And if you want to talk to us about it, O.J., just give us a call.
Yeah,
we'll set that up.
Talk about it.
Yeah. So, but there's speculation that the murder weapon and stuff like that was in that bag because there was so much evidence placed saying he was the killer. He was going to come in, admit to it, but they never even got him on the ropes. They never went for the big kill. They never went for the big questions. They didn't take him down. Like, they didn't do it.
I could definitely see his attorney saying, well, you know, they got you dead to right. They got, you know, a glove with the victim's blood at your house.
Your vehicle with the...
Yeah, maybe bring in the evidence. Tell them, you know, you're going to do all this. We can work a deal out. You not get the death chair. You maybe not even get life. Obviously you're going to get life, right, for that. I mean, even if you're famous.
Well, if they say it's a crime of passion, and it's in California, and he's a superstar, like maybe he just gets like a
10, 20-year deal?
Right.
Okay.
Right, so, yeah, like so a manslaughter or something like that.
So
like,
they pretty much showed up expecting to plead guilty and get a manslaughter 10, 20 years. And the cops were so dumb, they're like, oh, you know what, never mind. I think we might be able to get away with this fucking thing.
Right.
Let's go for it.
And that's basically what they... That's the way that it sounds. Allegedly. Now, that's pure speculation from the person that I heard that from. But then you watch the video and you see it. No one ever searched the bag. There's no record of anybody ever searching the bag. And you see him walk in with the bag, and you see his attorneys walking out with the bag. And the bag goes in the trunk of the car because there was media everywhere, right?
It's like the cops were just big NFL fans.
They probably were, yeah. And so now, and I mean, this is catching so much. I mean, this is national news, right? And so now... Everybody's out there watching as OJ leaves. You can watch video of him leaving the police station after he goes in for his interview. All right. So now they put enough together and they decide to issue a warrant for OJ's arrest. Okay. Now he's got a buddy, AJ. I can't think of AJ's last name, but AJ like worshipped OJ. Okay. So much so that OJ's got a white Bronco. AJ has a white Bronco.
Yeah.
Okay. So now his buddy's over there at the house, and then this warrant comes down for the arrest of OJ. So OJ jumps in the back of AJ's Bronco, and then the infamous police chase, right? This is where, and OJ has a gun to his head in the back seat.
Okay. It's national coverage live, too, during the chase. And it's on every news station everywhere.
Now, this is where the people like me, as a kid, because that chase went on for, it seemed like days. It was like you had a few sleep cycles in there, and you're like, oh, so OJ's still running? You know? But it wasn't. It was just a few hours. They stopped and filled up a bunch of times, yeah. It's kind of like the jet that comes down. Then they had the little deal. They kept refueling it. Kept him going.
So because he's famous, they don't throw up spikes. They don't hit his ass in like they normally do and try to get him to spin or nothing or...
So in California, in those days, yeah, that has something to do with it. The fact that technically he doesn't have anybody in there, right, that he's got holding the gun to. He's holding the gun on himself, threatening to commit suicide. So they're just staying back. And they're talking to him. Literally, when you're watching it, you can see the voice of OJ because they keep talking to him on the phone.
I didn't even know they had cell phones back then.
They did.
What, the big old things, the antenna coming out?
Yeah, the car phone.
Flip. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah. And so they were. They kept talking to OJ, and they kept talking to AJ, and it was, you know, they were going on and on, but it was crazy, right?
AJ's on the phone, man. I get fucking 12 to gallon, 12 to mile right now. You sure you want to keep following me? I just topped it off. I can go for 4 more hours.
But they also were having a problem in California for a while where if you did something wrong, like the news coverage of a pursuit was huge. So then, like, you'd just run, and then there'd be helicopters up, and you'd be on the news. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Anchorman 2.
Yeah.
Ron Burgundy's like, you know what? Just go ahead and follow him real quick. Saves his career.
And that's how it was. So then there for a while, they were like, don't do anything because you're just giving them ammunition. Then they were trying to get it like, hey, stop, like, glorifying people running from us. But this was at the height of that. So, like, there was people running constantly. There was... If I remember right, like, people quit even tuning into the news. Like, but I mean, it'd break into your, you know, like, it was on everything. Like, all of a sudden, you'd be sitting there watching, you know, Family Feud, and then, bloop, another pursuit.
Yeah. Well, all it is what, an eluding charge? And is that even a felony? Is that a misdemeanor?
I think it depends. Some of them are misdemeanors. What's that? It
depends on the state?
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, the extent of it and what happens during it, I suppose.
Right. A lot of things are the... Or the totality of the circumstances.
Yeah, well, if you're sitting on 3 felonies, what's another misdemeanor? Why not roll the dice?
Well, some people
make it more harsh.
Like, I'm pretty sure I'd have to look. Now I don't even remember what it was back in 94. So there's no. But anyway, so he's running, and there was tons of cop cars behind him. And they weren't running at high speeds, anything like that. And then there was people lining up on the city streets, and they were like cheering on OJ, and it was just unreal.
Finally,
he decides he's going to go home, and then they just met him at his house. They went into his gate, went in, arrested him, brought him out, and, like, didn't make it any more of a spectacle. It was just an unbelievable event, right? But the people that didn't know about the murder at the time, everybody knew about the OJ police chase. I mean, that was bigger than everything. I mean, that's where it caught my attention. So now he's in custody. Now the trial starts. And he's got Johnny Cochran, Robert Shapiro. Now, it starts out that Robert Shapiro is the main attorney, okay? Mm-hmm. And then he's got Robert Kardashian.
Yeah. Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And then he's got Lee Bailey, Marcia Clark. Marcia Clark was the lead prosecutor. And it's just crazy, the whole entire thing. And they did so many things wrong. Marcia Clark did so many things wrong. And you can't, I mean, who's prepared for the biggest case of all time?
A lot of pressure, a lot of stuff. I mean, yeah. Imagine.
And then he's got so much money, so much fame.
Oh, yeah.
And he's known as, like, a great guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
you're not just fighting the case against this one person almost. Like, you're fighting the case against all of his fans, America, all this stuff,
right?
You know, especially during those times with everything that
right
was going
and you're
on.
Also talking Los Angeles in 94, and there was, I mean, you had the Rodney King beating, which was
cops
horrible.
Are not looking good at the time.
No,
you know, clearly,
and it was bad, and they had done so many riots in Los Angeles at that time.
Yeah. So, you know, if you win, there's a good chance there's going to be another riot,
right?
You so you got that too.
Right.
Maybe she didn't want
this that. This couldn't have come even at a worse time for Los Angeles either. I mean, it was just everything about it was not good. Right. So
I think if OJ did do it, he was 100, like he had a 1 in a million chance to make it, and he was exactly where he needed to be at the exact right time.
Right.
You know, that was his one and only chance, and he was lucky enough to be there.
Right. Oh, 100%. Because everything that starts to happen, like where the crime was committed, was in a rich neighborhood, and it was a different demographic of people. So they decide to move it to, well, for multiple reasons, but it was like to be able to accommodate all of the news media that was going to be there, and then have a bigger base of people for the jury pool. And so they moved it downtown. It changes your demographics. Now
your everything changes.
Everything changes. Because if they would have tried it where the murder happened in that jurisdiction, your jury pool was different than where they ended up being.
Yeah.
And now you're in places where the riots were predominant and everything else. And it's like, it didn't matter. I mean, it did matter, but there were already, the cards were stacked against law enforcement, right? So it was the police, it was the prosecution. They were, it was already, this is OJ, you better prove him, right?
Yeah, you better come and,
right. And he then comes in with the dream team. And again, it starts out, Robert Shapiro is the main main defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end, Shapiro took a back seat because they ended up making it completely racially charged, and Johnny Cochran took it that way. And he was very successful at everything that he did. His defense was they were the dream team.
How much he made off that case.
Oh.
And I bet that skyrocketed. If his career wasn't already doing great, I guarantee it was after that. I bet it skyrocketed him, and he was just set for life after that.
Well, I'm guessing Robert Kardashian was already doing well, but his family is richer than rich for nothing really other than knowing O.J. Simpson. I mean, and then being on the dream team.
And having money and being able to make businesses out of it and show out of it and all that. Just because of the name.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name turned into it, and then all the girls are really good looking, and they could get a TV show, and now they're just famous because they were famous.
Yeah.
And they're rich because they've already got so much money that they can just turn it into anything. It's just unbelievable. But this is, well, Robert Kardashian was already a well-established, like, rich attorney, but it's just crazy, right? So, anyway, everybody remembers they did such a good job. I mean, you just can't. Like, Mark Furman was a white male police officer, and he had been to OJ's house a handful of times for domestic abuse, domestic assault. For him, for OJ, the accusations were that OJ maybe would have had beaten up Nicole at the time. He was arrested once, but there was other times that they just left. Mark Furman was working the area and then he becomes an investigator, and then he investigates the OJ trial.
Jeez.
Or the OJ murders, whatever.
I'm guessing he's a fan of him.
Well, he tried to become an actor at some point, and he had done some readings, and he had said some pretty racist stuff. And they brought it up. So they bring him in. He testifies to finding the glove at the OJ house and seeing the blood on the Bronco.
So the main guy,
of the main investigators.
The main, also one of the main mistake makers. But still, it didn't matter what he made mistakes. It mattered that it was one of the police officers that was one of the big faces of their investigation of everything, and they just pull him in and make a mockery out of him that he's racist and everything. So whether he was whether he was valuable or not didn't matter. It was
at
what it
looked
like
to
the people. Yeah.
So when he first comes in for the prosecution and he gives all of his testimony and all of the damning evidence and everything else, it's great. Then they find out about his background, about, and they find this one tape. They play the tape.
Just tarnishes everything.
Tarnishes all of it. And then they call him back in. Okay. So when he comes back in, he pleads the fifth. Okay? Which is his right against self-incrimination. Okay? So he doesn't have to testify. But now, everything that he's testified to is screwed. It's just screwed, right? And then they ask him a question. And he says, I'd like to invoke my Fifth Amendment right to blah, blah, blah. And then they go, okay. So they ask him another question. And he says, I'd like to invoke my Fifth Amendment right. And then they're like, okay. So safe to say that every question we ask you then is you're just going to plead the Fifth, right? And he goes, I plead the Fifth. And they're like, okay, yeah, all right. So he's just going to plead the Fifth on everything. So they're like, ha-ha.
Yep.
You planted the glove at OJ's house. And he says, I plead the fifth. And you're like, oh, my God. Okay, so now there's reasonable doubt to believe that he may have.
Which is all they need to win the case.
Right.
Any bit of reasonable doubt.
Right. And it's crazy. And then, and this was all Johnny Cochran. I mean, it was brilliant the way that he did it. And then he ended up baiting the prosecution into asking OJ to put on the glove. Now, this glove, they didn't take the make of the glove, and they didn't take the size, and they didn't go buy a glove. This is a glove that has been in evidence for years, covered in blood.
Yeah.
Laying in a bag. They take it out, they put a plastic glove on his hand,
yep.
And then they tell him, try to put that leather glove on.
And if I was him, I'd have been doing hand workouts like crazy.
Oh my God. It's unreal.
Whatever you gotta do.
And he clearly does it.
I've been sitting on my hand that whole time to get it to swell up.
Right.
You know, like banging it on stuff.
Right. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Jeez.
And he says the famous thing. He tries. The glove doesn't fit. You can tell that he's actively not even trying to put it on his hand. It's close to fitting, but whatever. And then he said, again, this is a glove soaked in blood for years. Like, leather doesn't shrink. Okay, anyway, I digress. So, it's just unbelievable. And then he says the famous, if the glove doesn't fit, then you must acquit. And, again, with just everything, it was like a perfect storm. We're all watching. I don't know if anybody wasn't watching. I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing that it's like a 99% of everybody was watching the verdict.
I wonder, from what I hear, is everyone was pretty split on what they expected the outcome to be.
Oh, dude. They were, national news media was doing all kinds of interviews outside, and it was 50-50. It was crazy. I mean, I don't think you can ask anybody now that, and they're like, I don't think he did. I think everybody's
everyone did it. Yeah. Everyone does.
Everybody's like, oh, yeah.
He didn't do it.
He may have done that shit, right?
Yeah.
So, but then comes out, not guilty. Crazy. Insanity. He gets released. Then it's not over because now Ron Goldman's family sues him. Right? And wins because, yeah.
This is nuts. This is mind-blowing.
Well, but there's
a restitution, right?
Right. Murder. But it's a whole different ballgame. The civil side and the criminal side are totally different.
But you wouldn't be accountable for restitution had you not done it in the first place. Mm-hmm. So how do you find him guilty to have to pay for the damages done
because the things that were allowed in the trial, like the bloody glove and the blood in the Bronco and like all of the evidence that says he did it, yeah, it's all in. It's
thrown out, but during the case though, because of
the difference in criminal is you're taking away somebody's rights. And so, therefore, you have to be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they did it. Okay? And so, and then you're going to punish the person.
Well, they took that reasonable doubt to the utmost extreme.
They did. And they put...
They did a very good job.
They did a very good job.
Most clear-cut case I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
They just fucking threw it out the window.
Right. And then, in the civil case, it's a whole different ballgame. Right? Mm-hmm. It's different rules of engagement. Yeah, you can't
throw all that shit out now.
They can, but it's different. Because it's a judge that's overlooking everything, and then it's the way things get to come in.
Is there a jury in civil?
No.
So it's just a judge. So it's up to a judge. You got to prove that reasonable doubt shit to a judge.
But it's different because you're just submitting evidence to a judge so he can look everything over so he can determine whether or not you owe somebody money or not.
Yeah.
Whether for damages or whatever. So it's just a different burden. It's a whole different thing, civil and criminal. So a lot of people think that things are criminal and it's just a civil thing. So you have a civil issue, it's not going to work in the criminal because it's a different burden to me. Okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets found guilty in civil court and he owes him...
Guilty of what exactly? Like, what was the case? Guilty
so I think of... it's... They considered that he was guilty in the death of those two people.
Jeez.
And that he then
owed murder.
Yeah. And that he then owed the family money for damages to their family for the
damages
loss.
In the likeness of the life of their loved one.
Right. Yeah. I don't know exactly how it's worded.
Jeez.
But he was okay, so he was unanimously, and I guess it was a civil jury. Okay, so it says a civil jury in Santa Monica unanimously found him liable in the wrongful death of and battery against Goldman and battery against Brown. He was ordered to pay $33.5 million in damages. Yeah.
And he's never paid a fucking dime of it, has he?
Yeah.
Never a
so,
fucking penny.
In February of 99... an auction of his Heisman trophy and other belongings netted almost $500,000, which all went to the Goldman family. So somebody out there is holding on to the Simpson's Heisman trophy. They've got it sitting on their manual.
I wouldn't even want it. I don't understand it.
No, I think it's unreal though. I mean.
I
can't even say
$500,000 for anyone's Heisman Trophy in the first place. Like,
right.
I just wouldn't. Even if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't do it.
So Simpson gets paid $28,000 a month from his NFL pension because he's a retired NFL player and he's
nice.
In the Hall of Fame.
That's a hell of a retirement.
Yeah, $28,000 a month.
It's a hell of a retirement.
But
great.
They won't, for some reason, let the Goldman family. So he's only paid him like this $500,000 and that's it.
Because he moved to, Florida?
Well, so at the time, if he moved to Florida, then, yeah, Florida. See, in August of 07, a Florida bankruptcy court awarded the rights to the book. Oh, my God. Because OJ apparently wrote a book called If I Did It.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Confessions of the Killer.
Wow.
And then they wrote this book.
What do you write? What he would have done differently if he did it? No, he did, but like maybe.
It's unreal.
I would have gotten away from that civil case. And I had to live in Florida.
All of the rights to the book were awarded to the Goldman family. Basically, if he sneezes, the Goldman family sues the shit out of him, and it's awesome. Yeah, but I can't even. But. Double jeopardy, dude. O.J. Simpson could come out right now and say, I did it. This is the shit I would have done.
He can't go to jail.
Can't never be retried.
Yeah.
Yeah, double jeopardy. He can't.
So why doesn't he just come out and tell people if he did it?
Well, because...
I think he basically did.
I mean, he wrote a book, said, If I Did It. Confessions of the Killer.
I'm saying, I bet you could work a deal out with ABC News or any news station and say, hey, you give me $20 million, and I'll give an interview and say I did it. You know,
that's your it says that the book, which you can look it up, it says the word if is tiny and you can barely see it. And then there's a large red eye in the title. So I did it. But then there's a little if. And it says Confessions of the Killer.
He should be hung.
It's crazy.
Shot or something. Like, geez, I can't believe that. Like, that's says how messed up our system is. That well, someone literally cut two people's heads off and is just walking around
guilty. But he was found guilty by a jury of his peers. And that's the way that the system works. And it's... I mean... He was tried. They put all of it out there. But, I mean, basically the prosecution didn't do their job.
It's all about money. Everything's about money. To an extent. You can have no money and do less and do more time. And if you have money, you do more, like murder and do no time. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so
well,
there's a lot of cases like that.
It doesn't always work that way.
It doesn't always, but there's more.
Because, I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr.'s got a ton of money. He did prison time. He's been found guilty
of
stuff.
I'm just saying, more often than not, those without money and those without privileges are screwed more often than the ones with money.
We haven't talked about, but that's where, like, Making of a Murderer comes in. Have you watched that documentary?
No, I haven't.
That's an unbelievable documentary.
Should we do a podcast about it?
What's that?
Should we do a podcast?
Yeah, we should both watch it again. I'll watch it again. You watch
it.
It's on Netflix.
Netflix. Making of a Murderer.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. I might.
Well, it was really, really popular a few years ago when I watched it. And I was blown away. But
check it out,
this is a person that doesn't have much money. He was suing. And it's a pretty crazy story. We should talk about it.
I agree.
But it says that in 07, the state of California claimed that Simpson owed $1.44 million in back taxes. A tax lien was filed in 99.
If I murdered someone and got away with it, I think I would be so scared after that I would be on my P's and Q's about fucking everything. But he just flaunts it, doesn't pay his taxes, writes books about it. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't pay his restitution. I mean, come on, man. Like,
I know.
Biggest jackass I've ever met in my life. Or ever heard of, read about, whatever. Biggest jackass.
So, he's had a ton, dude. It's nuts. He was arrested in Florida for battery and burglary of an occupied conveyance.
Oh, wow. Isn't that the whole story about his
stuff
being sold when it wasn't and all that?
No, so this is... He yanked the glasses off of another motorist during a traffic dispute 3 months before this. That was in 01. But he was tried and quickly acquitted of both charges in October of 01. he was apparently in December of 01. His Miami home was searched by the FBI in suspicion of ecstasy possession and money laundering.
Jeez.
It says,
not
said he was
a drug dealer.
Yeah, nothing came of it, but he was sued in federal court over it. He was arrested again in Florida for water speeding through a manatee protection zone and failed to comply with proper boating regulations. It was a misdemeanor, but he was arrested. This is 02. Then in 04, DirecTV accused him in a Miami federal court of using electronic devices to pirate its broadcast signals.
Jesus.
The company later, they won a $25,000 judgment, and he was ordered to pay $33,000 in attorney's fees and costs.
Later in 08, he was sued for stealing the neighbor's Wi-Fi. Because fuck it, he said.
And actually, no, but in 08 is when he went to prison. Because in 07 is when the whole Vegas robbery happens.
Oh, yeah, the fake robbery thing.
Yes, and it's
to act like
unreal.
He's a badass gangster, even though he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes from being like everybody's beloved, you know, and he was very prim and proper to like he was a rapper right after the all of this stuff, and then he was doing all this bad stuff, and now all of a sudden in 07 he's got his like little gang and they've got all these guns, and I'm not joking though. I watched the people that did it to him, right? The people that were there, in quotes. Dude, they so set him up on this. This is so funny. And he just fell for it. And he went in. But they told him that they had all of his property in this room. And okay, so So the from what I understand is he had hidden a bunch of his personal belongings from the Goldmans. So the Goldmans couldn't get it. So he had it in storage units all throughout the country. Right? And the way that it turned, because if anybody found out that he still had it, then they would have taken it and sold it. Right? One of the things that I heard was the Heisman Trophy, which I see on here that the Heisman was sold on auction. So I don't know what to believe, obviously, because you don't know. But my understanding was is that some of these big things were in storage units. But somehow, they kept, like, showing up on the black market and being sold and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out it was his manager was stealing from him.
So someone was, or like was saying, or like someone tricked him into thinking that.
Well, could be.
That is ruinous.
Right. This is, again, what I'm saying is just stuff that I heard.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was documentaries or if it was, I took
it. Anything we say at all times is allegedly, you can't sue us.
Right. Well, I didn't say any of this stuff. It's just what I hear. So that's just kind of the way that it was, what I heard in one of the documentaries or whatever I watched, and it was that his stuff was just spread out all over the place. And then his manager was stealing it out of the storage units and then selling it. So then he was actively looking for his stuff. So he gets told by one of these guys that these three guys are getting ready to sell some of that stuff from the storage units in one of the hotel rooms in Vegas. So then this guy that set him up, and if you watch the documentary, you can tell the guy 100% set him up. He was like, he calls OJ and he's like, they're there. They're in the room right now. And then he's in the room with the guys that are selling it when OJ comes in. And then it turns out it was all stuff that like OJ had let. I don't know, man. It is just unreal. So, but they come, any way you look at it, these guys have some type of property that they're selling that belonged some way to OJ.
Yeah.
OJ and a couple of his buddies come in. OJ pulls a gun, refuses to let anybody leave until he gets his property back that's been stolen from him. And he holds them there until he takes all of their stuff, and then they leave the room. And then the guy that had told him that this stuff was being sold, led OJ in there. Then he went straight, obviously, to the cops. Was like, it was OJ. I know OJ because I told OJ where to be, how to be there, everything else, right?
Mm.
So then, anyway, OJ gets arrested. And it was for all kinds of shit. Along with three other men, he's charged with criminal conspiracy, kidnapping, assault, robbery, and Jesus use of a deadly Christ. Weapon. Bail set at $125,000 with stipulations that he must have no contact with those defendants.
I'm guessing you posted bail.
Oh, of course. $125,000.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? That's not even a, what?
Half a year of his pension.
He gets paid $28,000 a month. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah.
Not including
so it's just unreal. Bail. Anyway, so he ends up going to trial on this. And, I mean, they got him dead to rights on this, just like they did on other stuff, but now he's in Vegas. Here's the crazy thing. So, what was her name? I can't think of her name now. Marsha.
I don't know.
Marsha Clark. So, Marsha Clark was the prosecutor in the Los Angeles stuff. Then she got out of being a prosecutor. She's not an attorney anymore. Now she is a reporter. So now, at the O.J. Simpson trial in Las Vegas in 07, Marsha Clark is front row behind the scenes as a reporter. So now she's reporting on the O.J. Simpson trial number Jeez. Two. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So it's unreal. So let's see if I can, I'll just go down. So, he faced a possible life sentence with parole, with a chance of parole on the kidnapping charge, mandatory prison time for armed robbery. My God. So it says on December 5th, he was sentenced to a total of 33 years with possibility of parole after 9 years. So he tried to take him, he tried to get it appealed, but the Supreme Court denied his request. They affirmed his convictions, and then he served his sentence at the Lovelock Correctional Center. It says his inmate ID number was 1027820. They reopened the case. A Nevada judge agreed in 2012 to reopen the armed robbery case against him to see if he was badly represented by his lawyers. Says they denied him for bail, and then they upheld it. Yep. The judge apparently later wrote that Simpson's contentions lacked merit. So he served until 2017. That's when he was released, October 1st, 2017. Served almost 9 years. And then apparently, December 14th, he was also now, he's off parole and everything.
December 14th, what year?
2021.
21. So he was in prison from 08... 09, somewhere in there?
08.
08, until...
17.
2017. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he served just shy of 9 years.
So what happened in 21? I guess I got confused there.
And then he was released from parole.
Oh, parole.
So he was released on parole in 2017.
Okay.
So then he was on parole until 21. Then now he's just done with all of it.
So he ended up doing, what, 9 years altogether, pretty much, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he did 9 years, and then he had a couple years of parole.
Chopped.
And now he's got nothing. Off. Now he's just chilling. And when I was just looking all this up, I went to his O.J. Simpson on Twitter. And he is, if anybody's interested, he talks about the Buffalo Bills. He's posting videos pretty regularly. He's at the real OJ32 and here he's, let's see. He was talking about USC right there. Great weekend of football there. Still USC there. Much respect. So always giving respect out to this year's Heisman Trophy candidates, in case anybody is really curious about that. And then he starts getting a little bit political.
I'm guessing, never mind.
So championship Sunday, that was the, for the football. So he does a lot of like football stuff.
Is he getting a lot of likes?
Dude.
Really?
170,600 views. That says, not the best time of year for sports fans. Here's a never dull moment in football and politics. 82,000 views. Now here's, people keep asking O.J. Simpson's opinion on the trial of Alex Murdaugh. 1.9 million views. Yeah, I haven't watched it. But 1.9 million people did. They probably wanted to know, like, did he think that, he, you know, that
what
Alex Murdaugh...
What would he have done differently to get away with it?
Do you think that Alex Murdaugh's defense team was as good as OJ's? Or do you think it wasn't as good as OJ's?
What? I mean, how did you do it?
Ooh. He goes, down goes Murdaugh. That one's only 635,000 views.
Wow.
Come join me in Vegas. Here he is sitting next to his really nice swimming pool with his pine palm trees behind him.
I want to join you so you can chop my head off too.
Well, he's 75 now. He'd probably still whip my ass.
Yeah.
My sister with a heart. Back in the swing of things. Then he did another... oh yeah, here's... it's no one's fault. Hashtag Gwyneth Paltrow ski crash trial. 86,000 views, 168,000 on his opinion of let the jury system work.
I'd rather shit a pine cone than hear his fucking opinion.
I know, but he's giving it
like it's crazy.
And there's
people are liking it like nuts.
He's got 888,000 followers.
Nuts. Why?
I don't know, dude.
I don't understand it. I mean, what? I don't know. You're just curious, I guess, or if maybe you believe he's innocent. Or maybe you don't think he's innocent. You just, you know, you're interested in the story like
so,
we are.
So, here's what I think. I think people, regardless of what they think about, you know, him murdering and that trial that we talked about in the 90s, any way you look at it, he's O.J. Simpson. And then, I mean, all of the crazy stuff that's happened over the years, I mean, he's still O.J. Simpson. I mean, he's one of the biggest figures. The O.J. Simpson trial.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, I mean, I wonder if there's people that know about the trial that didn't even know that he was a football player.
Probably. I guarantee there are.
Yeah.
Dude, if you really think about it, I mean, the two biggest things from 1990 to, like, 2002 that were covered by the news was, like, the O.J. trial and 9/11. Like, that. Name something that was bigger than either one of those two.
Right.
Nothing.
I mean, there's a lot of things that happened in the 90s. It's really pretty crazy.
But they had that much attention,
but no,
though.
Nothing. Nothing was as big as the O.J. Simpson trial. So now the fact that he's finally out of prison, and I mean, it's kind of crazy. One of these videos is on right now, and it's not no volume, obviously, but it's just sitting here. But I mean, dude's got a huge house.
Yeah.
it's just great. Unreal.
Yeah,
and he still gets so he gets to just, I don't know, with all the money that he owes, everything else, but he's got this big old huge mansion with a nice swimming pool. Looks like he's living in Vegas now. So, anyway.
And how does he get away from having to pay the fucking...
I don't know what the rules and laws are. Maybe he set up a plan that he pays a dollar a month for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. If he's got that many followers, that means... If he has followers on Facebook or whatever, he's making money. He's making bank.
Oh.
Because they're going to throw ads in on whatever he posts and all that shit. So, maybe he could get it paid off.
Dude,
he gets
1,800 likes.
Bank.
It says he's had 698,000 views.
Maybe he just made that money.
He's getting 600 retweets.
Maybe he made
300
money off
comments.
Social media and just paid them off and now he can live where he wants to fucking live. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe he did. I have no idea. It doesn't say that anywhere, and I highly doubt it.
Nuts.
But it's just unreal. So
crazy.
But there he is. He's doing him now, and looks like he's living in Vegas. He's asking people to go there with him, and he's got 500 tweets. And
I don't know who would want to go there with him. Because like, if he gets mad, like, who knows where it's going to go?
Right. Yeah. Like, hey, I like my head. I think you just set it up right away. You're just like, hey... I don't mind hanging out with you, but I like living, and I like my head where it's at. Okay?
He's like playing roulette, like red or black. I don't want to fucking. You pick whatever you want, buddy.
I'm not giving all. Yeah, don't ask my opinion, OJ.
No.
Yeah, it's unreal. So, it's crazy. This story has always intrigued me. I've watched every documentary. Again, I followed it when I was a kid. It's just unreal to me.
I'm glad we did this. This was very interesting, and I liked it. I learned a lot from it.
Yeah, it's very unreal. Fun. So, all right. We've been going for a minute.
Fat minute, as I like to say.
Yes. So, but it was good. I think I had a great time with it.
Went by quick. Very, very fun, interesting. That's the kind of podcast I like. You learn something, you have fun while you learn it.
Absolutely. All right. Remember... Go check us out on all of our social media. We don't have half of the people that are following O.J. Simpson.
We're gonna,
unbelievable.
We're going to OJ you. You know?
But, well, we're not going to do that. But, you know. Go check us out on Patreon. Help us with Seth's chair. That'd be great.
Yeah, you've been
at
here
least...
this weekend of popping. Some of that was my beer can. Most of it was a chair. I need the beer because of the chair.
But everything else. I mean, go watch our TikToks. They've been funny. You know, we post all kinds of fun stuff. Go find us on Facebook. I'm posting all kinds of funny crap on Facebook. Yeah. It's hilarious. Go check us out.
If the chair doesn't fit, you must submit money.
I think it works.
Post a better saying than that. Like, give us something.
Yeah, give us something.
Attention.
Yeah, we always like people to say things to us and tell us stuff.
Give us attention at all in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. Please.
Just any way you can to let us know if you guys are liking it, because we're enjoying doing it. So
we're open for suggestions.
Absolutely. If there's a story that we haven't covered that you want to hear us tell, let us know. All right. So remember, social media, everything else, and then on this podcast, give us 5 stars. All right, really helps the algorithms. And then leave a statement. I don't care if you just put cool, good. You know,
the fucking dick emoji, eggplant. Sorry, Grandma. Do something. give us something.
That sounds great. Otherwise, we're gonna keep putting it out anyway. So we'll see you. We used to do weekly, but now we're changing it. We're doing like every other week.
I say we put something out. I think we should put something else out this week and make up for it.
Okay.
So I'll be at home. Why not?
All right. That sounds great. Well, I enjoy doing this, so I'll put out 3 a week. I don't care. Yeah. So, but anyway, help us out by hitting like and all that other stuff. So, thank you guys. Have a great week.
Adios,
amigos. Adios.